Welcome to the Flute View Radio. This is Viviana Guzman for theflutview.com.
Hello, everybody. My name is Viviana Guzman, and I'm here for the Flute View magazine. And my special guest today is the principal flutist of the Munich Philharmonic. Please help me welcome Hermann von Kochelenberg.
It works.
Good to see you. Hello, good evening.
Hello. Oh, guten Abend.
No? Guten Abend.
Guten Abend.
Guten Abend. How are you?
Tell me, so you studied where and with whom? Tell us.
I studied actually in Den Haag, in The Hague.
Ah, Den Haag, okay.
Yes, Den Haag, for 2 years. I did my master's there with Emily Beinen.
Uh-huh.
Before that, I did 4 years in Amsterdam with Abby de Quant, and I did my bachelor's there.
Okay.
So basically, that's very few teachers.
Teachers, yeah. I did similar. I only had really two teachers. Well, maybe three, but yeah.
Yeah.
And then you are becoming world renowned for the fact that you have this amazing flute that you found. And it's just creating a huge revolution in the orchestra and all over. So tell us about how that happened.
It's like many things, by accident. the wood, you mean? You know,
yes.
I was studying in Amsterdam, and I was looking for a professional flute, and I tried tons of flutes, and actually I didn't like them all of. It's my Yamaha 471 silver thing, you know, very, it's good enough. The other one is like 10 times more expensive, but it's not worth the difference. And then one day I came across a wooden flute, a Maynard, the small German maker. And I thought, yeah, this makes sense. This is a real difference. With my student instrument, so I wanted a wooden flute, and by accident I came by, and I fell in love with the sound of the wood. That it's for me, for how I play, much more sincere sound, and I feel more free on a wooden flute than on a metal one.
You have such an incredible spectrum for to play subtle colors that perhaps you don't hear so much on the metal instrument. So it just makes sense. And then within the orchestra, at least from when I hear your recordings as a unit, the woodwind section sounds beautiful all on wood. I mean, what do you think?
Well, you know, flutes used to be made out of wood. Right back in the days, and they were simply not good enough anymore to follow up with the other instruments, and then they started to make them out of silver, and they were much more stable, and they were much more reliable, and all those things. But now we are 100 years further in history. And there are quite good wooden flutes that you can buy.
Yeah.
It's for me. I play how what a flute sound is. You know, it makes more sense to play wood than metal. I feel very alone. on a metal flute, I feel very isolated or so sound wise. You know, I cannot really blend, and I like to blend in the other players. I like when the woodwinds are like a small organ sound. That's nice.
That's exactly what I hear in your recordings. That it is so much more cohesive. The woodwinds just sound perfect. I mean, that's the way it's supposed to be. And I'm surprised that we evolved the way we have of turning to metal 100 years ago or so. I would assume it's probably a soloist mentality that wants to stand out and play louder, that kind of thing, you know?
Solo flutist modality, yes. Yes, of course. It's way more easy to scream above everybody on a metal flute. Yes, of course. But it, well, yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
It makes more sense to play all together, I think.
Yes, I agree.
And then you can still step out. I mean, it's not that you, when you play the wooden flute, that you don't hear anything anymore, you know. But yeah. it's like a clarinet, like an oboe, like a bassoon.
Yeah, well, there's the flutist Sebastian, I don't know how to say his last name. He's French. Do you know who I'm talking about?
In Leipzig.
Maybe.
Yes, Sebastian Jacquot.
Yes, Jacquot.
Yes.
I just don't know. I don't know French. I didn't want to mutilate his last name. So he was as a winner, and he was playing on wood. That's my first introduction to flutists playing on wood. And then more and more, I've you sold me on it. So, you know,
thank you.
And the sound is just astounding, how you sound in the orchestra and as a soloist as well, because you have that recording that you did in Brazil, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 2 years ago, last 2 years ago. I would say last year, but last year not so much happened. So it was the year before.
And you were playing as a soloist in Brazil.
In Brazil,
and
yeah.
That record, and you, I think it's a recording of a rehearsal, right?
Yes, indeed. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we did. De Vienne Seventh Concerto. Yeah, well, it's super. When you have a good wooden flute, it's super powerful and it's super rich and super anything you like. If you, how can I say? If you go fully for it, you know, many flute players buy a wooden flute because it looks nice. And because it sounds beautiful for once or twice a year, playing some Bach Passion or a Mozart Symphony or maybe even some Schubert, and that's it. You know, they take it out of the box like three times a year, and then it's great. And then, for my taste, you don't really get to the essence of the instrument. You don't get everything back that you can get back from the instrument. Like I'm that's why for me, when I got this wooden flute, I had to go over a little bit and I had to look a little bit further than the regular wooden flutes that are built, which are mainly very thin, actually thin, how do you call it, thin walled, you know, from the wood, very thin and easy to play. So my flute is a little bit thicker, like the older instruments in the days, which gives much more possibilities to color and to go in the sound, you know, to really go to hang into the sound, in the warmth of the flute, of the palette of colors of the instrument. And that's what I love a lot about the wood, that you can really, like a huge coat that you put around you. That's this kind of sound. I love it, and that's why I got to this thick-walled Sankyo flute in my case. Well, yeah.
Well, it is the flute, but it also is the player.
It is, but yes, that's what I say. And you know, it has to suit to your personality. I came to the flute not because of the wood. I'm not from the wood police or wood church Adventist, whatever. Not at all. Please do play whatever you like. But for me, as I said, I felt this discomfort of sound that and this palette of colors and possibilities. So much more on this instrument. Again, just for me personally, you know,
But as a listener, though, exactly how you describe the warmth, the palette of colors, the amount, the spectrum. That's what makes you such a unique player. You just get and you lean into these notes and it's just wonderful.
Well, it's a mindset, and it's what you want to take, what you want to, yeah, how you want to make it
Okay.
sound, you know? I don't know. Just doing my best.
Yeah, no, it's fabulous. Absolutely fab. Very unique, and I think revolutionary, and at least in this day and age. Yes.
Revolutionary,
Yes,
no.
in this day and age. What? Yes. You're a
No.
maverick. A maverick. Yeah.
But no. I mean, people have been playing wood for forever. You know, it has had more people have played other materials than wood, let's say. But in Europe, basically, I think, for example, in Concertgebouw, I don't think, I'm really sure, in Concertgebouw, people, the wooden flute did never leave. There was always somebody, at least one person, playing a wooden flute in the Concertgebouw. You know, from the beginning until now, I think, yeah.
We have a great question here from Zeynep in Turkey. Does a wooden flute get affected by weather conditions, or do you feel it's harder when touring at all?
Well, that's a good question. I must say, I had quite a lot of issues until getting to my current flute. I've been playing the Sankyo since 2006. This is my second one, and this one is extremely stable, and it doesn't care about weather or anything at all. It's really that you can just take the instrument out of the box, and if it sounds like shit, I'm absolutely sure it's my problem. It's my fault, not the instrument. And I before I had yeah troubles with that. It if it needs yeah if you have a good one, it's okay. Sorry to say.
Okay, that's good. Fair enough. Fair enough. And now in the orchestra, what has this year been like, this pandemic year? Tell us about how the orchestra or you and you have been coping.
Well, in the beginning, there was nothing. We didn't do anything. Which was, of course, strange, you know. You go from full speed, and then you go to nothing. It's one day to another. I had my agenda completely booked until I don't know when, and then, like everybody, it was just stop. Now you cancel all your flights. You do cancel all the concerts. It's stop now. So we did a little while nothing. And then the orchestra made the whole hygiene concept thing, and we are very far from each other, and you know, we get tested
Oh.
before a production, so to say, and the productions are very short now, and we do like two productions a month, which are video recordings, so with no audience still. They are extremely good, what I heard from the orchestra, the amount of views. The recordings are sold to, I don't know, to all Art Medici, classical music channels, NHK, I don't know. So that's what we are doing now. Chamber music, of course, has stopped for the moment, which I must say, it's of course very sad, but I do not want to over push also. I don't want to I'm not in a hurry to get people to pull people back in a concert hall and realize later that half of them have become ill in a concert. I don't think that's a very good idea, so it's better, I think, to all get vaccinated and or to get, I don't know, to stay, that the world is a little bit safer again, you know, that we can really with a good feeling go back to concerts and not overdo this. Mm-hmm. And then of course the whole overseas tours to as you say, to Brazil or to Asia or to United States, everything has been cancelled. So yeah, a lot more time at home to cook and to.
Yeah. So what have you been doing in this?
Well, practicing scales, of course. And,
well, Emily Bynon started a YouTube channel.
Yeah. So, I saw that. That's very good. I'm way too bad with modern technique. Flute playing is so much more easy than doing all this. and trying to do my best, but I'm still a very lousy social media person. It's
But it's how I found you through Instagram.
Yeah, I'm very grateful
for
that.
Facebook. I heard you, and I was like, oh my goodness, who is this?
Well, actually, that is the advantage that now that we make with the orchestra, that we do all these recordings, you know. Before, we were just in the concert hall, and you know, you play four times a week, you play for 2,500 people every evening, and that's it. But now we see that with these recorded concerts and that they have these streamed concerts, which are distributed very well, that you get, you reach like
even more,
way more. Yeah, yeah. It's a multiple amount of people that you can reach, and that's of course if the orchestra has the right access to the distribution of all these concerts, then it's of course great to great opportunity.
Exactly. No, I think it is. It's wonderful to see that orchestras are embracing all the channels, the potential challenge, and getting to many, many more listeners around the planet. You know, not just in local, you know, wherever you are, Munich or wherever we are.
Exactly. And there are only until last year, there were only very few orchestras that really had a worldwide coverage, so it's a presence. Yeah, then before,
absolutely.
Very simple. Yeah.
Well, in the U.S., it was against union laws even to put a video up on YouTube, an orchestra of a concert. So yeah. I'm sure that's probably changed now, but I used to think that was just, I didn't think that was right. I thought, well, if we're not seeing orchestra in the US, not seeing orchestras on TV, and we don't see on the internet, you know, we need to see.
Of course, but that's here as well, very, very difficult, you know, that with all the rights of the producing partner, so to say, this producing firm, that there are so many rights on the videos that you cannot put it on YouTube for whatever and then just see how it ends and just let it go. Yeah? It's still very controlled. You see that with the Berlin Philharmonic as well, for example. They have this fantastic digital concert hall. They do for, I don't know, from 10, 15 years maybe now, this almost every week or every week, their concerts, they stream it via their own platform. And you can buy tickets for that, but it's not that you give away all your art and that you can find the whole concert everywhere, any moment for free, so to say. Yeah, so that's also a thing to keep in mind, so to say. Mm-hmm.
Well, I love how you've been able to take snippets of your performance and the major flute solos. You know,
I try my best. It's nice. I try to just to take out little excerpt, and it's not because for that and not. You know, you don't play a big solo every week. And preferably, it has to fit in the 1 minute that you get from Instagram.
That's great.
Why not? I thought, why not? Just so many videos. I thought, let's go. Why not?
Yeah. We have another person here, Flute Keys. Apparently, mm-hmm. he studied with you in Rotterdam, and he's asking, do you have any tips or ideas on getting to know a new wooden flute?
Yes.
Like maybe exercises or?
On getting to know a new flute in the sense of learning the instrument it's just like you have to play it hour and hour. After hour, and then it'll become your friend, hopefully or not. And if not, then you.
So just playing it more and more and more.
Yeah,
so
play
like any flute. I mean.
Yeah, exactly. In that sense, it's not different from any flute. The only thing what I felt with the wood is that it gives you back more, like a piccolo, for example. You know, when you play the piccolo, after a while you get back from the piccolo the sound changes a little bit, and that's with the wooden flute the same, just a little bit more. You know, so this flute sounds, my flute now sounds much more the way I think it should sound, the way I play. It sounds how I play, basically.
Exactly. Right.
And when you buy a wooden flute, you have to look through that a little bit.
So you both evolve together. Zeynep from Turkey again asks, I would ask the same question in the sense of choosing one. So how do you get to know, or how do you choose your wooden flute then?
Yeah, that's a more difficult question. So difficult, that takes a little bit more time. That depends a lot of what we said before. That depends of the how you want to use it. You know, if you just want to play it once every 4 months and then take it out of the box and then do it and then put it back, then you can choose a thinner more easy accessible flutes. As you go more into the thick walled flutes, you will have to do more on the instrument in order to get back the sound, the sound of the instrument, to get everything out of it more than with a thinner walled flute. So if you want to go wood, so to say, if you want to go black, then you just start with a relatively accessible instrument and play it a lot, and then maybe afterwards you can change. You feel that it's too light. You know, when I play all the time on a, I played on thinner flutes as well, and then after a while I think, yeah, okay, but this feels now like not like wood, but it feels like it's thin. You know, it's not. It doesn't have the depth that I. But I would not suggest to do that directly from day one, because if you buy a super heavy wall a wooden flute from day one, then you will kill yourself. I mean, it makes not so much sense. Mm-hmm.
It's almost like, maybe, is it similar to like a platinum flute, which is also very thick?
And I played platinum, I think, in total for about 10 seconds in my life. So I cannot really tell you. But I guess so. You really have to get into this sound and into this way of playing also, that it is different from metal. I have been doing this for the last 20 years, so I'm used to it, or more than 20 years even. Oh my god. If you want to do it, if you want to go wood, then you take your wood and you do it and you go. That's how I did it, and just play. The main of my first wooden flute was pretty easy to play, but it gave me a lot of colors and a lot of sound and a lot of everything. And afterwards, I changed for a little bit more heavy and a little bit more. That's the way to do, I think.
Zeynep asks, what kind of wood and how old should the wood be? What do you recommend?
What do I recommend? most of the wooden flutes are made out of Grenadilla wood, the black wood. Now, how old it should be, that preferably 30, 40 years. Not machine dry. Right. And preferably, et cetera, et cetera. But that's all very, very preferably. I mean, if you go to a shop and you look at all the wooden flutes that we know from the big makers, you know, the Yamahas, the Powells, the I don't know what, they're the wood is not that old, and it's all machine dried, you know. So.
Have you ever tried one of the old Louis Lotte flutes?
Yes, of course.
My teacher used to have a couple of those. He used to love them.
Wow, Emily has one, I think, as well. Yeah. I always thought that this is the most beautiful flute that you have. Why do you play this flute every day? Yeah, it's a fantastic flute. Yeah. Of course, I love them. Yeah. Although it was a silver. It is a silver flute, but it's beautiful, beautiful. It's the same expression, you know,
the
sensitivity. It's not this machinery flutes of now. It's much more sensible and much more, so many colors and so many. Yeah, I love them. Yeah, of course.
Interesting. Yeah, that was my teacher's preference, actually, in flutes. But they're not easy to come by.
No, not at all. And then you have the problem that they are often they change the intonation, they change the tone halls over the years, right? And so they are really not as good as they were. So if you get your fingers on an original one, that's amazing. It can be amazing.
What pitch is your orchestra, Munich Philharmonic, now playing on?
443.
443, okay.
Yeah, 443. I thought, oh my God, that's so sharp, but actually, I sincerely do not really notice it. When I go there, that's funny, because when I go to Munich in the concert hall, I pull out my flute more than when I play in Amsterdam, for example. Funnily enough, so I cannot tell you what is exactly the difference. The sound is different from my taste. It's maybe also the height, the altitude, because Munich is more on altitude than Amsterdam, which is below sea level. I always have this feeling, and I spoke with that with my oboe colleague, and who had the same problems the other way around when coming to Amsterdam from Munich with on tour, for example. That his reeds did absolutely not have the same resonation, not the same response and sound quality as he made them at home in Munich. So there is definitely a different atmosphere feeling. So in that sense, for me, in intonation, I don't really feel a problem. I have this flute, which is officially, I don't know, 442 or 444. It's a standard flute, and it's more than sharp enough for Munich and sharp enough for Amsterdam and everything in between.
We had another comment from somebody, and I think another Turkish person, Oguz, who was just saying that his neighbors don't let him practice, especially his high notes. And yes, I mean, we've all lived through this, no?
Yeah. So that's the moment to buy a wooden flute. Oh, wow. And what is the problem? The high notes. Yeah, the high notes.
I guess the neighbors just complained. I had a neighbor in New York. I used to like to get up early, and I started practicing at 8, and every morning I'd start hearing these pounds on the walls, and because it was New York, and I was allowed, legally I was allowed to practice, but it's just part of city living, I think.
Yeah. Are you allowed in New York to practice at 8 in the morning?
I was then, 8 to 10.
Oh, cool. Because I think in Europe it is more like from 10 to 10 or so, from 10 in the morning till 10 in the evening.
This is a long time ago. Things may have changed.
I don't know. Here generally first of all, I try not to practice too much at home. You know, if possible, I go to the Philharmonie, to the Philharmonic Hall in Munich, and I practice there when it's possible. Because it's huge, we have huge studios there, and they are completely isolated, and it's so relaxed. You can do what you want there. But then when you are at home, yeah, you have to, generally you have to consider a little bit the neighbors, you know?
Mm. Well, that's something that once I moved to California, I didn't have that problem anymore.
beautiful.
Moved away from cities. I'm allergic to cities, so. Herman, so tell us what you have coming up. I don't know. Are things relaxing with the orchestra? Are you guys playing a little bit more? What do you have on the horizon?
As I said, for the moment, the planning is completely unsure. In the sense that we know that we try to record like two concerts a month, two productions a month, and to get them streamed and sold to all the other channels. Now it depends a lot of how this whole pandemic situation will go further. You know, we can only hope that things will get better. And the problem, of course, with concert halls is that you have 2,500 people sitting next to each other, and if one coughs on the other, it can go very fast. And not only that, you're in a concert hall, but you also have to get there. You know, you have to. You're all in the subway or in the parking lot or in the foyers. You have a drink together and you go to the same toilet and you use the same areas around the concert. So that it's a very bad situation. Yeah, I cannot say anything else. It's very bad, and we will have to be a little bit patient, I think, to you cannot overrush this. I don't see it happen. So you can only, wait. Sounds too non-active. But it's not by telling we have to play that things will get better. That's not the thing. We will have to be patient and to get this whole thing over with.
In the meantime, you are teaching, right?
Yes, I have been teaching a lot for the last years. Actually, I have been teaching a lot online. I stopped. I was professor in The Hague and in Rotterdam a while, until some years ago. And when I went to Munich, I quit that because it was impossible to combine the two. And then I focused more on online teaching. And actually, it's fun. It's a lot of fun. If you have the right material, technical material, it's so great to be able to have access to people, or people have access to you, and around the globe,
all over the world.
All over the world at any moment. And that's so fantastic. We did not have this before. It's amazing. If you make sure that you have a good internet connection, a good microphone, and a good speaker, then you can have from Taiwan, from Sao Paulo, from San Francisco, from anywhere. And that's amazing. I have a student from Taiwan who is very regular with me, and that would not absolutely not have been possible in a normal normal situation, so to say. As I say, if you have the right gear, the right material, then the sound is good, and you can do things. The the era of the blocked faces and the sound which cracks and is not there, that is past.
What platform do you use?
I do mainly via Play With Pro, it's called, which is specifically built for music lessons online. So that makes that the sound is the how do you call it, the sound resolution? I don't know. It's wider, and so you can hear the sound quality is much better, and your lessons are recorded, so you can look it back, and it's completely safe, and it's really very 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 comfortable, I must say.
You cut out just when you said the name of the platform. What is it?
Play with the Pro.
Okay.
Play with the Pro. Yeah. That's what I do most. It's really ideal. It's really ideal. You can, people from everywhere can join, and your whole schedule is in. You could theoretically put your whole schedule in and tell everybody then and then.
Great.
So I've been doing that. Yeah, that's really nice.
Yeah, who's the guy who runs that Play With A Pro? The guy who runs Play With A Pro had been emailing me for a while, but I was too crazy busy flying around, so I never focused on it.
Adam.
I'm glad to hear that it's working for you and that it's a great plot, because you know Zoom is terrible for flute.
Yes, that's what I find, and that's what I find good about Play With The Pro, that the sound quality is good, and
yes.
the image, okay, of course, as well. But you have the problem with Zoom or Skype or any normal that it's more oriented towards voice or not very rich sounds like the flute. So therefore Play With The Pro is really nice. Yeah, mostly even better when you use a microphone as a student, or I do it as well, you know. It's really good. It's really
mm-hmm.
good.
Mm-hmm. I use a platform called Crowdcast, which has also been quite good, and it also records everything, and for the flute it's totally fine.
Yeah, okay, I don't know that.
Yeah,
cool.
Anyway, so what do you like better? Do you like or what are you focusing like professionally for the future? Like, do you want to do more teaching or do more playing, performing, traveling? What is it that you like the best?
Well, I always like the combination of all those things, you know. it is so amazing to play in a to feel that people are listening, really, really listening, and that you can do that, you can really take your little moment, so to say. That's fantastic, and that can only happen with a fantastic orchestra in a nice hall, and when you have the whole, everything comes together, and that's I love it. And that's the same with playing solo in front of an orchestra, so to say, that you really can enjoy the moment. I love it, and I can only look forward to the day that everything will be possible again. Not before that. I do not forward to do those things when it's not possible. So, yeah.
Well, and how about some advice for a young flutist who's studying right now and in this career that's not always so easy, especially during a pandemic?
Yeah, it's crazy times. It's crazy times. You know, you have to be so so convinced, but also convinced, truly convinced of doing this, at going further with this, and feeling that you have to do it and that you cannot do something else. Otherwise, you should not do it. World is getting so small. Everybody is everywhere. It's not like decades ago that you had an audition for the orchestra and that only some people from the surrounding area were playing, and then somebody got the job, and then it was okay. Now the whole world one has you have to be so good nowadays. It's almost impossible, I think. If that's what you want to do, you know, if you want to play in orchestra, then you have to be very, 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 very good. Yeah, and very convinced. I know, for myself, I remember I was like 12 years or so, and I did not ask myself the question anymore, what am I going to do? But I knew I was going to be a flute player. And that's the only way, I think, you know. It's not a choice. You do it because it's what you are.
Exactly. I agree.
It's not,
100%.
yeah, it's not, what shall I do? Shall I become a flute player? Oh yeah, why not? No, please don't.
You said you have to be confident and 100% sure that it's the only thing you can do or want to do.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree 100%. And I like athletes or the Olympics, they just get younger and better and faster, and you know, it's
It's
the
the same, exactly the same.
same. So yes, you must, not to say that it's impossible, but you must be very, very confident, very sure, and you know,
Yeah.
very
If
dedicated.
extremely dedicated and make so many hours when you're young.
Yes.
Make so many hours, study so much, not for studying, but for learning it, just wanting to get it, you know, to get the thing that you feel it, and that you have it, and that you the instrument, just you and the instrument, and even then, you know, and even then, there are so many fantastic players that did not just on a hair that did not get it or whatever, and
I
that
know.
and still fantastic players. It's
I
such a
know.
hard life.
I know. Well, it has been wonderful chatting with you. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you so much for having me.
I was just so thrilled to have discovered your recordings, and I was thrilled that you accepted being on the cover of the Flute View magazine. And this, I turned this audio file into a podcast, so you will be able to download it on podcast format as well. And it's going on the Instagram, our Instagram feed right now as well. So, anyway, so just wanting everyone to, you know, get to know you, your magnificent, beautiful, expressive playing. It's a dream.
I thank you so much. You're
I thank you so
way,
much.
way too kind. Yes.
It's true. Your music is poetry. It's just beautiful. So thank you.
Thank you. No, I thank you.
Okay, till next time.
Till next
Be
time.
well.
But you too. Bye bye.
Thank you for listening to the Flute View podcast. Please give us a rating and leave a comment. The Flute View is sponsored by Flute World, Haynes Flutes, flutehoot.com, and the University of Kansas. California, Santa Cruz, where I teach. Please remember to subscribe for only $12.99 a year at theflutevue.com.